This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second hour of the show. It's Mucci Norris in for Barry, who is touring the world doing comedy. He'll be back Tuesday. It's Nick and I as the mainstays holding down the fort, having some fun, getting a lot of good feedback from you, the listeners. Glad you guys are happy. Got a text that says, hey, Joel, great stuff so far from Mario and Mooch. Who do you have coming in on Monday? Friday and Monday are kind of up in the air at this point. Adam Wexler was going to join us tomorrow, and then he got busy and is on call and doing work and anchoring for Channel 2. So TV, I guess, Trump's radio. We'll let it go. We've got that. Also, people telling us that Westbrook can't stand the guy that we had on the air from OKC, Tremel, which is true.
Yep, fact.
And then the guy that Daryl Mayberry or something like that.
Darnell Marbury.
Okay, yeah. Steph's brother. No. He was covering the Thunder. Now he covers the Bulls.
Actually, you might have said the last name right. It's Darnell Mayberry. I think you might have been right.
Well, Darnell will learn what a big city's all about when he gets to Chicago. So then he'll learn not to take shots at Houston. I stick up for my city.
Houston, Oklahoma.
It's like I
played there.
Yeah.
But people are more proud in Chicago. It's like having
a Super Bowl and a bowling ball in the same sack. You can determine which one is which. And I'm sure the one text message is going to declare OKC the bowling ball. So go right ahead. Nick, when you're big time and you're covering a team, you're not going to look forward to that trip. I'm just telling you.
Nah, it's not one of your favorite cities to go to. You have your cities mapped out.
Yeah,
where you know when we go there, it's going to be like this. When we go there, it's not in the top.
Cleveland's got to be worse though, right?
Cleveland's gotten better.
Cleveland's gotten better, but those are still those Cleveland, Oklahoma, Utah, like those. Charlotte. It's those places that you already know that. I wonder if we stand overnight.
Yeah. How about Seattle? Because they lost 13.
Ooh, it's a good city.
But it's a good city. It's a good city.
Really good city.
I've never been to any of those cities.
You need to go to Seattle. I played for Seattle before I came here. It's a great city.
Hope to God they bring an NBA team back to Seattle.
They should, because it's a basketball town, isn't it?
It's just a great town. Yes,
it's a great period, though, without basketball.
Yeah. On the water, and man, there's a lot.
We used to ride with Gary Payton on his boat called The Glove. It was nice. It's beautiful.
And you always have to realize if you need help, the posse's always on Broadway. So we got that covered as well. If you want to get a little Sir Mix-a-Lot into the... Sir Mix-a-Lot was a Seattle guy. Or is. All right, so let's get this out of the way, Mooch. Johnny wants to talk to you about Westbrook. Johnny, what's up? Johnny, you waited. You've been waiting. Where are you, Johnny? Going once?
Hello.
Gotcha, Johnny. What's up?
Yeah, this is Clutch City. This ain't OKC. Y'all talking about that whiny little kid, Westbrook. You're disrespecting the dream. You're disrespecting the beard. You know, you're disrespecting Tricky Brown.
How are we disrespecting anybody, dude?
This is Clutch City. This is Rocketstown, not OKC.
So you're just a proud Houstonian. Is that what you're
Chucky
saying?
Brown.
Dude, Chucky Brown played for more NBA teams than most, and he got it done. He got a ring. No one's disrespecting anybody, but we're talking about what the people have presented to us. You want to talk about Pete Chilcutt?
Russell Westbrook.
You want to talk about Pete Chilcutt? You want to talk about Richard Petruska? We
can
do that.
I want to talk about Derek Chivas.
Well, he wore a Band-Aid.
World be free, baby.
He wore a Band-Aid. World be free. He did a part-time stop. All right, we appreciate the call, Johnny.
He's a good shooter.
He's just trolling.
That's all right.
He's a proud Houstonian trolling. We only talk about Westbrook for what, like 5 minutes, 3 minutes?
Well, it's because you got the ass clowns that want to talk about him and say all these other things.
I mean,
text
I like the
messages.
Chucky Brown comment. I thought that was pretty funny. But
you rolled with Chucky, right? Who was the guy? Tony Massenburg was the guy that the Rockets had that played on more teams than anybody in the history of his career.
Yeah.
I think it was like 15.
It's a good guy, though. Good guy. Yeah. Good guy. Massenburg. Yes,
you know
good
you're
guy.
A good guy
yep.
when you don't have a massive amount of stats, but you always end up on an NBA roster. And Tony Massenburg was a good dude, and he played like 15 different teams. Yeah. I was like, I wonder if his rec room's got all the jerseys from all the teams he played.
I'm pretty sure it does.
Yeah.
he's an ultimate pro. He's just, you know, a guy he works hard. He did everything he needed to do to be successful at the sport. So moving around wasn't a big thing. I'm pretty sure he would have loved to stay somewhere You know,
sure, after the third it's or part fourth of the game. Team, man, 15 teams, that's tough.
It's a lot, man.
Yeah, but you do it. I mean, who else did that?
There's quite a few players, right?
Someone on a roster right now. I looked at it the other day, and I was like, oh, my God, I didn't realize. Corey Brewer's played on a lot. Mm-hmm. But there's a couple guys where, and I was looking it up for some reason or another, and I was like, man, that's why I said there's a couple guys that are well over 10 teams that they've played for in their career. But again, there's a reason why you're still in the league, and there are other guys that are grinding just to get another opportunity. If you're a good dude, hey, when you're looking at the 11th and 12th spots on a roster, or now when it goes 15 deep,
you're going to get called.
Yeah.
You're going to get called.
If you're a good dude. And if you're an a-hole, you're going to get called.
Yeah, you're not. You're not. That's why it's important not to burn the bridges, you know, burn bridges in a sport, any sport. But you just never know.
Right.
I mean, it's important to be, you make it is one thing, but how you handle yourself while you're there, I think, is that much more important.
Ariza played for like 7. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, Trevor moved played around. New Orleans and L.A. and the Rockets. And
the Lakers.
Washington.
Yep.
Yeah, he's bounced around. Yeah. We can kick that around a little bit. I want to get to your Seattle story because I remember when the Rockets signed you. And did a little research because obviously in the broadcasting department we're going to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you were a grinder as well. I mean, you went through, started Auburn,
mm-hmm.
right?
No, Odessa Junior College.
Okay, Odessa Junior College. That's right. I think I saw you at some point on Twitter telling somebody to realize that Junior College
is a good route to
go. Then from there, from Odessa Junior College, then you went to Auburn.
Went to Auburn for a year. Yep.
Okay. And then from Auburn, then you went down to Florida.
West Florida. Yep.
West Florida. Okay. Then you end up in Seattle. Were you drafted?
No, I got drafted to Milwaukee.
You and Mario both drafted to Milwaukee.
Yeah, I got drafted with Ray Allen, 33rd pick in the draft, baby.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened?
The trade went down. Okay. But I was there at the beginning of the year, and then they made the trade for Elliot Perry. Sox.
Yeah, Sox with the high kicks.
Sean Respert was there when I was there. That's how me and Sean met.
That's awesome.
I was running around following him. Yeah, by the way, as a rookie, I was walking. Oh, yeah. Every time he went to the gym, I was in there trying to.
We've talked about it a little bit on the show, and Sean is like a brother to me. And when you talk about some of the God-given abilities to shoot the basketball, Sean Respert still lives here in the offseason. He's with the Bulls now. He's been an assistant coach in the league for a while. But Sean Respert is the all-time leading scorer in Big Ten history when you talk about in-conference and out-of-conference games, him and then Calbert Chaney. And people don't realize he was ruled as – people would always label him as the biggest bust in NBA history, or one of them. And ESPN did an article, and I knew it bothered him, but he's such a private guy, he didn't talk about it. And one day he called that reporter up and said, "Do you realize I had stomach cancer?"
You know what? And I'm glad you said that because that's been the whole thing. No one knew at the
right.
time. No, everybody just thought he just, you know – he wasn't as good as he was in college. And I'm like, what the hell were you watching?
So we watched. So it was crazy. A couple stories on that. But we're watching the Final Four. And Michigan State's in it. And UConn's in it. So I call Ray Allen. And I'm like, Respert wants to make a bet with you. And he's like, you're really sitting there with Sean? I'm like, you don't realize how tight. He goes, I didn't know. He goes, I knew y'all were in Milwaukee and all this other stuff. I said, no, you know, Sean and I have been tight for a long time. He's like, let me talk to him. And he gets back on the phone. He goes, Joel, you realize that for whatever shooter I am or was, that guy was better.
Absolutely.
I'm like, get out of here, man. And I know Resp can shoot. But Ray Allen was the first one to tell you that in shooting contests and everything else. And he told me while he was going through stomach cancer in Milwaukee that if he went, he'd go to shoot around. He would do chemo. If he didn't play that night, he knew where the gyms were open in Milwaukee at midnight, 3 a.m. He said he got mugged in the parking lot a couple times, lost his chain, lost everything. But he didn't care because he's just a gym rat. He wanted to play.
And that's Sean. That's Sean. He was in that gym faithfully, man. And it was one of the first guys I saw that made me realize that, God, I'm nowhere near working hard enough.
Yeah.
I'm not spending enough time in the gym. I'm not doing what it takes
to get
better.
In the first segment, that's Resp too. It's in his heart. He loves the game. He loves to teach people and give back.
Yeah.
And that's what he's doing. He started out in, you know, the G League and all the different aspects of basketball. He was at Rice. Helping out guys when Mike Harris and guys like that were there. And all of a sudden now he was an assistant coach with Memphis. He's now the assistant coach and player development guy in Chicago with the Bulls. So he gets it done. And I'll never forget, we were at the Met downtown one day, and a kid walked in and goes, "You're Sean Respert." I was like, "How the hell did you know that?" And he's like, "Hey, man, we got YouTube." And I went back and looked at it. If you ever want to look at it, Sean Respert single-handedly beat the Fab Five in Chrysler Arena because they made his grandma cry. He had 27 points in the second half.
Yep.
It's pretty special dude right there.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll continue to roll on. It's Mucci Norris in for Barry. It's Joel. It's Nick. It's the usual suspects. Don't go anywhere. Right here at ESPN 97.5. No one beyond what you get.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Shout out to Eric for trolling the show. Nice try. We get back on The Usual Suspects. It's Moochie Norris in for Barry. It is Nick and Joel on a Thursday. Looks like Nate Griffin will join us tomorrow for the show. So Nate will be here. Good to catch up with Nate, as always, as he'll do a little 1-4 stint. And then we're looking for Monday. I've got to call in to Randy McAvoy to see if he's available. So we'll see what we can do there. Moochie, you can clarify this, but someone texted in. It is our friend OU Mike, who likes to put a little humor on it. He's a little different guy. We don't know where he lives, what he looks like, but he does sound like a redneck, just like his name implies with OU Mike. But he says, callers better watch it. We'll put Moochie's big brother Chuck on him. The eyes of a ranger are upon you. Seaforth Water. You know, Seaforth, we did this weight loss challenge for all our listeners. And it was sponsored by Chuck Norris's water company, Seaforth Water. And the commercial actually says that he punched the ground on his land and the springs popped up that provide Seaforth Water. Dude, you talk about a guy has a legend that follows him around. Chuck Norris, man. I like this text a lot. What's up with these ass clowns trolling the show? If you got an answer for me, let me know, because I'm trying to figure that out. White Magic has made his second appearance. He wants to know who's the best left-handed player ever.
Ever?
Yeah, ever. I don't know. You know, I'll tell you this. One of the underrated ones Mario brought up yesterday, who he went to high school with, Chris Mullen.
I was just about to say Chris Mullen.
Yeah.
That's my guy, left-handed Chris Mullen.
No doubt. And here's another thing. I didn't realize this. Mario said on the show, his first time I ever heard the story, the reason why he wore 17 was because Chris Mullen took him under his wing when they were in Golden State and taught him how to work out and what to do in the offseason and all the things when he thought it was time to coast. Mully put him in the gym, and that's why he wore 17, which I thought was a neat story.
That's great. That's why. Oh, man. I sat there and watched that guy shoot one day. That's, you know, go through his little workout routine one time. Wow.
Unreal what that guy could do.
More lefties. Wow. Chris Mullen. Or we even mentioned that. David Robinson, Lamar Odom, Zach Randolph. I think James Harden is a lefty.
He is.
Chris Bosh.
That's who's going to take it over.
Yeah, Harden will take that title. No doubt about it. Yep.
That's going to take it over. That's why I didn't even say that. But yeah, when we're looking back, I'm going to say Chris Mullen. I'll say Chris Mullen.
I would agree with that. Yeah. But Mully's a guy. I mean, I remember when I was working for the Blazers, it was like 1 second on the clock and they had the ball. And he caught it on the elbow, and I want to say like Buck Williams and Kevin Duckworth, two pretty tall guys, are running at him. He must have thrown that thing straight up in the air about 30 feet, never even touched rim, straight through the bottom at the game for a game winner. And people don't realize at that point when he came out of St. John's, he had a drinking problem too.
Yeah.
But he overcame all of that, and he Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Now he's coaching St. John's.
He's one of the greatest, baby.
All right, Better City. Greatest. This is a tough one for me. Could be tough for you too. But he's got two good ones here. Better City, Seattle or Portland?
Seattle.
Ooh.
Seattle.
Now, you know I spent 4 years with the Blazers in Portland. Portland, don't sleep. People sleep on Portland.
I'm not sleeping on Portland. I mean, I used to go to Portland a lot. It's right down the street. Yeah. So I used to go up and back and forth all the time when I was in Seattle. So, yeah.
Plus, you got that Nike World Campus with that employee store. Nick, you want Christmas any day of the year, get a one-day pass to the Nike employee store and go to town.
Yeah, go crazy.
I've heard more. I've heard Seattle was a good city, too, but I've heard more things about Portland. I couldn't tell you either.
So. Portland's nice. Don't get me wrong. I had a great time in Portland.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Portland's a good, good city. Michael Redd has made an appearance on the list for some reason. Just someone tweeted or texted Michael Redd. Michael Redd up there is one of the best Bucks of all time.
Yeah.
Short career, though.
Yeah. Yeah. And that plays this was out. You know who I was going to say? Who I was thinking about? But I was like, I got a little shady at the end. Derek Coleman.
Yeah. DC could play. Yeah, DC. Look, he had an all-star career. Syracuse, another Syracuse guy.
Yep. If you're going by paychecks, Mike Conley. I think he's a lefty.
Mike Conley's never made an All-Star team. Makes $31 million a year.
Like I said, if you're going by just the
life's
salary.
Good in the NBA these days.
Very good.
No, very and the good. Other thing I want to get to before we get out of the Seattle situation, when you came to the Rockets, what was it? You had – there was a time when you couldn't sleep or you
– I'm just really getting over the insomnia thing probably the last couple of years. And it's probably, you know, due to me not playing and stuff like that. I think I – through basketball.
But when you were playing, was it was serious. Like, you wouldn't sleep for days on end.
Yeah. Yeah. I just couldn't sleep at night.
I'm not kidding, Nick. I'm talking about days on end without sleep. And you think about how sleep deprived you are if you got to get up early in the mornings or after a Rockets game. That was the one thing that really, I couldn't believe it when you first got to the Rockets.
Almost cost me my NBA career. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. I would come to Seattle, like, just come to the arena, like, blood shot out red. I mean, just.
So would you be willing to share what helped you the most through that process?
Say that again.
What helped you the most to get over it?
I just think time. Over time, I just was able to relax my mind and not worry so much. I was stressed making this to the league.
I was going to say, when you're grinding just to get a spot.
Yeah. Because, I didn't see that in my, you know, in my future moving forward. I lost my mom in high school. So, you know, the first 2 years of high school, I don't play. I really I played my senior year of high school. And I ended up being, you know, one of the best basketball players in high school. Then I decided I had my daughter. So I said, I'm not going to school. Let me get a job. Mm-hmm. English teacher told me, go check out a school, Odessa. Checked it out. Played 2 great years. Had one of the best 2-year records there. Was about to go home again. Mm-hmm. Kentucky, Alabama, Auburn, top teams came in.
SEC schools, yeah.
So I decided to take Auburn, the bottom school, so I could play against the top schools. And it worked out. Gave me a chance to get drafted. But my senior year went bad. Got declared ineligible. Still don't know why.
Wow. But, welcome to the NCAA.
Yeah. The NCAA kind of left me hanging. More importantly, I think my school left me hanging.
Really?
Because I think they forced them to make a decision.
That was West Florida?
No, that happened at Auburn.
At Auburn.
That's why I had to leave Auburn.
Okay, and then you had to leave Auburn and go to Florida.
Yeah, because I had made second team all SEC, so I figured going into my senior year, everything be good. And before the first game, they gave me an envelope and said I was declared ineligible.
Wow.
At the first game. So that means you let me go through.
Yeah, thanks for letting me wait.
All of the workouts
out
in the
or
summer and stay down there and work. And then the first game, they declared me ineligible. So it was a crazy ride. But, yeah, that insomnia thing almost killed me.
Hey, Nick, we got a text that said Manu Ginobili's left-handed.
Yeah, I got a tweet that said that.
And okay, we'll move on.
I mean, I don't put him over the. I mean, David Robinson was a lefty. I mean, where do you, you know, Mullen, like Mooch said, Harden's probably taking it over. So
yeah,
there's a bunch of lefties.
I give him
there.
Championships, but he's not one of the top. No. Not one of the best. Uh-huh. I give him championships, but
just like we had a discussion yesterday, Robert Horry, you can't take away his championships, but he's not Hall of Fame because he won championships. You got to put up stats and average numbers to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Now Mooch, this is okay. We were kidding about this, but now this is the third text, and it says, tell Mooch to stop acting like he doesn't know who White Magic is. Mooch, I don't know what you do in your spare time, but if you know what White Magic is, hey. I don't know. Someone said Boise, Idaho. They got Cray talent up there.
Oh!
Is there a CBA team up there now or something?
Nah, I know who that is, though. I know who that is.
But that's not White Magic.
That's not White Magic?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, that ain't who I thought it was.
No, that's not the same number from White Magic as White Magic. So, look, your peoples are out there. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, man, I'm feeling the love.
Dr. Dre was the one that called out Eric Wong. That's proof that Eric Wong doesn't make it right.
Yeah, the hallways kind of knew him. He's a frequent caller of the morning show. I guess he never calls our show because I really don't remember him.
He's the guy that got into it with OU Mike. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
I have no clue.
All right, we'll get to some more NBA basketball in the second half of the show. We'll talk about some of the series coming up. Someone wants to know about Mucci's toughest visiting team arenas to play in over the years. Some other good questions along the way. So we'll have some more fun as we continue to roll on. We've got half in the books and another 90 minutes to go to the big show. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Someone else tweeted in about Manu Ginobili. Duh. Well, okay. And your point is, he's still not one of the greatest shooters, so turn the page. You guys can reach the show. We'd love to have you. Steve Francis chiming in unannounced, 713-780-3776. You can call or text that number. You can hit us up on Twitter. And as I mentioned, it's at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at The Producer Nick, and at I Mucci Norris. So we were kicking around some things. We want to get back to the NBA playoffs. But there was a story, fellas, that I wanted to read to you because I thought it was very perplexing. And I stumbled upon this literally. Hope, thank God I didn't stumble on it literally. But I had come across it in the past, and now it's reared its ugly britches again, just to get your thoughts on this. So as the story goes, there was an excessive amount of waste, if you know what I mean, coming from the sewer systems and the sanitation systems in New York City. Okay? So let's just say it's a crappy issue.
What are they eating in New York?
There's a bunch of crap going on, Nick. Let me just put it that way.
This is New York hot dogs, I'm telling you.
So for whatever reason, there was an excess. So somehow the brilliant people in New York City decided the best way to clear the excess of excrement that they had in NYC was to put it on a train and get it out of town. The only thing that they didn't plan for was when they tried to get it out of town, they put it on a railroad, a couple cars, a whole bunch of cars full of poop, and the train got stuck. Yeah. So in the process now, somewhere in Alabama, there is a whole train full of poop, and it ain't going anywhere. And last I checked the weather report, the sun still shines for 12 hours a day, and it's baking up some crap.
God, that's awful. I would hate to worry about that.
So Wednesday, they started a whole deal about the people in Alabama obviously have an issue. They want something done about it. They were going to social media and everything else trying to say, what can we do about this? Because it is getting bad. The landfill operated by Big Sky Environmental is about 25 miles away from where the train is right now. They caught up with a local resident who basically had this to say about trying to rectify the problem.
It's just pure feces. It catches you sometimes just coming through the air. It takes your breath. You can't go into stores down there because it's just overwhelming. Some days it's a lot harsher than other days, but you can smell it continuously. Would New York City like us to send all our poop up there to them forever? You know, they don't want to dump it in the rivers, but I think each state should take care of their own waste.
It takes your breath away, and sometimes you can't even go shopping because it gets up in your nose.
She wants to send some poop their way.
She angry, boys.
I think New York's going to get a surprise package.
Would New York City like us to send all our poop up there to them forever?
Ain't that some crap? Few containers remained at the parish rail yard as of Wednesday afternoon, but she is being reassured, as well as the constituents of the city, that those were just empties, soon to be removed, but all the other train cars are now evidently on their way to their final resting place.
I can't imagine walking around smelling that, though. She says she walk around and just takes your breath away.
I mean, like, I've been the south side of Milwaukee growing up. My grandma lived by some kind of plant, and it smelled like bad cucumbers.
Mm.
I forget what kind of plant it was, but it's like, okay, that's one thing that's bad. But, man, when you start talking about baked poop in a train.
Yeah, that's got to be way
better. That's a bit much.
That's probably,
man,
way worse than Pasadena with all the refineries and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like that in Pensacola.
In Florida?
Oh, yeah, on the way to the school, it's a plant we pass, and
smells like stinking.
It's kind of foul, man.
I was going to say, the joke is, well, I can't say it on the air.
You sure? So,
yeah. Well, I mean, there's, you know, a guy and a girl.
Dropped A-hole on the air the other day.
I did actually drop that one. I thought that was good, and it wasn't. But yeah, the story goes that there was a guy and a girl getting it on in the back of a car, and she said she'd like it very much if he would kiss her where it stinks. So they drove to Pasadena. And they started making out. Some people call that a dad joke. I'm just talking about reality. That's one of those things. So, all right. So, Astros today, Nick, by the way?
2:40 Central, I believe, which is what, 5 minutes away?
Yeah, so it's a nooner in the Emerald City of Seattle.
Hey, great place.
As we've mentioned, I know great Brett place.
Was, he was out the rotation yesterday, wasn't he? Or was it the day before? Who's getting that? Some rest. Alex Bregman.
They sat Bregman last night. Marwin played third. A big, thank goodness. You know what? Let me write this down, Nick. This could be one of those games that really gets the Astros on the right track, because when a pitcher pitches as good as Garrett Cole pitched last night, and again, no earned runs, and his pitch count was getting up, and it was a 1-1 game going into the top of the seventh, this is where your teammates want to recognize and do something, because they know he's going to get another. He left the game here in Houston against the Rangers with a 5-run lead, pitching a gem with like 14 strikeouts, and didn't get a decision because they blew that lead. So they already knew that they owed him one, but they definitely didn't want him getting another no decision, pitching as well as he pitched. So top of the seventh inning, they go out and they get him a six spot, as Mario would call it, a six piece. And whether you got barbecue sauce or honey mustard, that was exactly what the doctor ordered for Garrett Cole. He finished the seventh inning, ended up getting the win. He's 2-0. He's been phenomenal since he's been an Astro. And now the Astros can either break even on the series if they lose today, but if they win, it'd be 3 in a row, take the series from Seattle in the division, start stockpiling some wins. I think because the position players can feel great about, we did what we were supposed to do. We got that job done, got him some runs, so he got that win. This could be something that galvanizes this team a little bit more. So that'll be fun to see as they finish the series today. Charlie Morton on the hill.
He's been playing good. It's all about getting the series wins. So that's important. I'm sure you'll be very sad to know, Joel, that Ken Giles' back tightness has progressively gotten worse, according to AJ Hinch.
You know what I kind of mirror this with, Nick? I mirror this with the mysterious injuries of Ryan Anderson. When you aren't necessarily wanted where you're supposed to be for a certain period of time.
So you think that's what it
instead
is?
Instead of giving him a paid vacation, Mooch knows back in the day it was plantar fasciitis, then it became a real issue.
Okay.
So now maybe you get a little back tightness and you got to sit out for a while you really secretly are working on your delivery and things that may be quirky and causing you to give up runs in games. these are things that might be ailing Ken Giles. We don't know.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy Butler's not 100%, I don't think, but he's definitely playing, so... I don't know how much truth is to that with Ryan Anderson. I don't know if he's Mike D'Antoni said yesterday.
Now he was ruled yesterday at shoot around. He was ruled as
out,
good to play. But then D'Antoni made the decision that he wasn't ready yet there to be put on the floor.
Yeah. I mean, some people play with that stuff. I never missed a game due to plantar fasciitis.
But have you ever had it?
Yeah.
It is painful.
In both feet.
It is painful.
It is. Yeah, I would literally be crying when I come to the sideline, but I never sat out a game. For plantar fasciitis.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm just playing rec ball with you, but I mean, I would find a way to play the game.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, it's miserable before and after.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like you could, like, slingshot a rock 100 yards with your Achilles tendon. That's how tight that whole area gets.
The whole bottom of that foot
but
is
that
like
used to
glass.
Be the excuse in the NBA. If they wanted to stash somebody on injured reserve, you got plantar fasciitis. And then people realize it was a real deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know where you are on this whole thing. We were talking about the other day. Where are you on this whole thing on rest? Because, I mean, it seems like the more these guys rest, and Mikhail was the one that told me, like, you know, they bring in these experts and they start talking to him about how his players needed to rest more. And he's like, so really what you're trying to say is, what if we did 2-a-days for 3.5 hours each practice and we did that for 20 straight days and then we cut it down to 1 day doing that with all full contact and full court? And then we basically played an entire 82-game schedule without commercial airlines or all the food and things that they're provided. And the expert was like, yeah, that's absolutely unheard of. You can't do something like that. He goes, son, we won a championship doing that, and we did it for 9 years.
But that's the way the game used to be. It was no missing no games
right.
just to be missing no games for no rest.
But now all of a sudden LeBron starts this, Popovich starts resting players that are healthy. Where are you on all that? I mean, because you guys had no
I'm
problem playing 4 and 5.
I'm not a fan of it. I played every game. And played all 82 again. Even I applaud James Harden for doing that. He doesn't want to sit out games.
He loves to play.
He doesn't want to sit out games.
Yeah,
and that's what I love about him. He doesn't want to sit out. Talking about no rest. There's no rest in no basketball. Arm rest. It's a chair you sitting in, but you can't be sitting out no games just for no rest.
You know who else doesn't like to rest? Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
So with that being said, so we can turn the corner. But okay, so we talked a little bit about the Rocket series, but is the series over?
To me, it's over.
I said the one that got away, the one that if they were going to get one, Minnesota lost their chance because that game one was there for the picking.
Mm-hmm.
They were shooting threes like they had never shot them during the course of the year. They had the Rockets on the ropes. They had a lead. Teague took a lot of bad shots pulling threes that weren't kind of with a lot of shot clock left.
Yeah.
But overall, that was the one I think that they could have got.
Yeah, and that was the one they needed to try to change something that we all know that should happen in the series. I said they may win a game, but
yeah, I did too.
I don't think they're going to win one.
Yeah. But I will say this. There will be a lot of emotion for the first playoff game in Minneapolis for the first time in 10, whatever it is, years. I think since I don't want to misspeak because someone will correct me, but it's been quite a while since the Wolves had a playoff game. So that they're going to have to fight. If the Rockets come in, it's going to be a hostile environment. They'll have to fight over the emotions and the crowd early. But I really don't see any reason why they don't make quick work of this series. And they probably should, because now it looks like after what happened last night with Donovan Mitchell surpassing Michael Jordan for the highest two-game total of points by a rookie in his first playoff series, Utah steals one in OKC, and it looks like they can make that a long series. I thought OKC was a hot team that could roll through the Jazz, but not so much.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. I mean, you expect the team to sometimes have an opportunity to win one game. It's always in the cards for me. When teams sweep teams, you just know, like, I'm looking at the Rockets right now, and they should sweep this team. But Utah has a guy that can cause you problems by himself, and I think that's what's going on right now with Oklahoma.
And Utah's the best defensive team in the league. So,
They work.
That's a nice inside-outside combination. It may not be Stockton and Malone yet, but watch Mitchell and watch Rudy Gobert. They can play. And just so you know, Mitchell was not even guaranteed to play because of his ankle. Mm-hmm. He not only played 13 of his 28 points in the fourth quarter, and he surpasses Michael Jordan to even the series. I think it's 45 points he scored in the first two games of that series. So that's 1-1 going back to Salt Lake City. That has got to be
and
on your list. I was going
to
say,
play.
When we start
and
talking about tough arenas
place
to play. Those people may be holier than thou, but they ain't afraid to let it come out of their mouth and be foul. I'm telling you that right now. All right, we got a lot more to get to. We'll take a quick break. It's the Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
I fly like paper, yeah, I like planes. If you catch me at the border. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Moochie Norris is in the house. Barry's on his comedy tour. He'll be back Tuesday. So Moochie today, Nate Griffin tomorrow, and Monday up in the air at this point. If Moochie's schedule's free, might just see if he wants to come back. As we continue to kick it around, it's been a lot of fun so far. Sean with a good tweet. Don't forget about Tony Kukoc as a lefty. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
DJ Caliente, I hope you're not also texting it 85 times, but yes, we all are very aware that Manu Ginobili is a lefty. Thanks for chiming in. Lenny said, I'm available 1-4 Monday if you guys need someone to do it. Yeah, and so basically, Lenny, what I said to you was, so I can continue to tell you that not only was Dez being talked about as being a guy that could get cut, he did, and I was right, and you were wrong. There you go. We can clear that up real quick. So before the break, we started talking about a lot of the different things with these NBA playoffs, and we're talking about the Rockets. We think that series is over. We got a little bit into OKC and Utah. But some of your early takeaways in terms of what you've seen so far in this playoffs, as we look at some of the other series, you just asked me about Philly and Miami. I was happy that Embiid stepped up to say, I'm tired of being babied. But at the same time, from Philly's perspective, you realize this is your franchise player. I understand how good Simmons is, but this guy, he transcends generations, what he could be if he's healthy at all times. You got to kind of weigh that. But Miami's getting exactly what they want out of this deal. They're mucking up the series, slowing it down. It's ugly basketball to watch. But if they keep winning, they don't care.
Absolutely. It's the song that they want to play.
Yep.
It's the song they want to hear on the radio. It's Miami's basketball. They're not going to win playing somebody else's style of basketball. They don't have a chance winning that way. But if they, like you said, if they can screw up and make this game rough and ugly, then they have the team perfectly made just for that.
And you look at a guy like Simmons, and you know, especially when Embiid is not in there, that can change the game and give them another option. They're going to force that guy to shoot the ball. They're going to plug the middle. You know, Whiteside's capable of doing that. They've got enough bodies that are all tweeners, but they're all athletic and they all hustle. They're going to make that kid do more shooting the basketball than penetrating and getting to the dish.
Absolutely, because that's the key to slowing him down. You have to make him become a shooter. When he's on the move and he's off the dribble, he's great. He's fantastic, and he makes the people around him better. But what's yet to be seen is, can he do that from being as being a shooter?
Yeah.
Can he win a game shooting the ball?
Now, you bring up a name earlier in the show, Gary Payton, and I always tell people that I'm not worried about Ben Simmons, because if you talk about two guys that are two of the best to ever do it and lace them up, both of them came into the NBA with a 25-letter alphabet, and that means no J in it, and that was Jason Kidd and Gary Payton. Both those guys came in without the ability to shoot it, spotting up consistently. Tim Gergovich, one of the greatest assistant coaches in basketball history, took both those guys under his wing, and before you know it, Jason Kidd ends up top three all time now in three-point shooting. And the glove was an assassin.
Yep.
So it is possible, but it's going to take some time. I mean, I'd love to get your thoughts on two other guys. We talk about Ben Simmons. Look, he's got other things to fall back on. Let's talk about Lonzo Ball and Markelle Fultz.
Mm-hmm.
Two guys that have all the ability in the world. One's got a broke-ass looking jumper that he may not try and fix. Mm-hmm. The other one they tried to fix mid-season because they were blaming his shoulder issues on it. But now he doesn't even see the floor for a Philly team that's got a lot of potential and a lot of talent.
Yeah, I think Markelle's in a situation right now, especially with the team playing well, because they've been playing well without him. So we're not sure how much they're going to want to change things. I think they'll throw him out there and give him an opportunity. But like you said, I think when somebody's been shooting that way for such a long time, it's hard to actually reconstruct the whole jump shot. I think that takes time, and that's something you can't do in a season. That's something you do over the summer. I wouldn't start messing with that thing. If his shoulder is bothering him, that's one thing. But messing with his shot, that's a whole nother animal.
But so in the case of like him and then with Ball, because Ball's like, I'm not going to change anything this offseason, and Magic was saying how important it is might be the most important offseason of his career. How long does it take to do something like that? Where you completely, I mean, because your muscle memory and the way you've always gone about your business shooting the ball, and they want you to change everything mechanically.
I think you can do it over summer. I'm coming up. I was playing the 2 and 3 and 4, you know, coming up. I was small, but I grew to size when I was about fifth grade. So I was playing, you know, as a forward and stuff like that.
Okay, sure.
And then when I got to my first year of high school, I had to go from being the other guy to the point guard, and I struggled. So those first 2 years were, it was traumatic because I was just trying to do it. But the summer that I spent before my senior year just working on being a point guard, a better ball handler, by the time the season started, I was one of the best ball handlers in the city.
So you can work on it based on just how much time you're willing to put in the gym. I mean, you get the shots up. Everybody says, you know, some guys 1,000 shots a day or whatever it takes. But it's also shooting it the right way. It's not just getting the shots up for repetition. It's making sure elbow in, hand in the cookie jar, all these different things that people hear about, talk about, and say, okay, I heard about it before. But there's other guys that have an ugly shot that's gone in. We were talking about Bill Cartwright during the break. But the fact of the matter is that they're few and far between. You look at the guys, we talked about Chris Mullin. You look about Ray Allen. You talk about guys that are going to, and Steph Curry, guys going down as the greatest possibly ever to shoot the ball. For the most part, that's pure mechanics, the way they shoot the ball.
Absolutely. When it comes to those guys' mechanics, but were Reggie Miller mechanics that great?
No, but he's not the norm. He's the rarity when
exactly.
You get the guy that can do that and do it. You know, look, Jamal Wilkes was that guy too.
So I think it's about the time you put in to make that shot better. You know, we're talking about this rest time. I'm an NBA player. You don't use up a whole day. You come to the gym, you got a 2-hour practice.
Right.
You may have an hour before and an hour behalf that you do something.
Yeah,
so 4 hours.
But you do realize different than even when you were there, and you had the luxury of Westside, where they treated you really, really good there. But fact of the matter is guys are basically living at their practice facilities now because they got a built-in chef. They got a lounge with video games and big chairs and comfy sofas, and guys can take naps, and they can eat, and they can get treatment, and they can play video games, and they can watch the satellite TV. Guys are living at the facilities now, Whereas you guys, like you said, in, out, and they, now they even have rules about how much you can practice.
Yeah, but again, like you said, you named a bunch of things that they're doing other than working on their games.
Yeah.
You know, working on their shot. If I know something's wrong with my shot, I'm going to Westside to go work on it. We always were in the gym working, and that's what has to happen, and that's what's changed. You can't just go and mess around. You know the guys that's working and getting better and putting the time in to correct something that's wrong. I remember being at a game with Tracy McGrady, and it didn't go well, and he was in the weight room that night after the game. Like, that shocked me because I didn't know Tracy worked that hard. Yeah. I thought everything just came that easy to him.
I've seen it time and time again. Once the Rockets put that practice facility in the Toyota Center, and Nick, you saw this with Ryan Anderson this past season and since he's been a Rocket. Guys, when they have a bad game, they go right in the lab. Like you said, they go right back to business, whether it's on the practice court or the main court. They're getting shots up. They're trying to figure it out.
Yeah, Ryan Anderson did it on the main court after a game. He just, nothing was falling for him, and he stayed after the game. And it actually helped. It kept a few fans in the building when he was doing that because he just kept shooting. He was clearly upset with himself, so it happens.
But that's a great sign. It's a great sign. Well, I remember.
Not that it worked and paid off for these guys, but Demo and Jeremy Lin were two of the guys that always came in at any time of the day or night. And then they said James Harden did it the other night before game one.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get it and it'll pay off for you. So that's good to get to. Also, one of your former teammates and a guy you know well, or a guy that was in the same city as you and now is doing TV, he's going to get an interview in New York. Nick is shocked by that, but I want to get your thoughts on that and a whole lot more. So we got an hour to go in the big show. Don't go anywhere. It's Moochie, it's Nick, it's Joel, it's Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city.